Turning again in God's word to Psalm 111. And let's just wait a moment in God's courts and presence, that he will come upon us as we come to his word, and that he will lead and guide us into all truth by his Spirit. Our Father in heaven, we bless thee that this is our privilege once again to come around the word of truth. And we pray, O God, that would speak to us tonight. Indeed, we would make it our sincere request that, Lord, above the voice of man, the voice of God would be heard. Come, O God, and speak with power. Speak graciously. Speak in such a manner that our souls would be troubled. We think of how the Lord Jesus Christ spake as never man spake, and even his enemies marveled at his voice and at his word. And we pray, O God, this would be our experience tonight, that thou wouldst so come amongst us by your Spirit, that, Lord, we would marvel at your truth, and marvel at the wisdom of your word. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst meet the need of each heart. O God, we think even of these words that we have been singing, and we would make it our prayer as well as our praise. O Holy Spirit, with thy fire divine, melt into tears this thankless heart of mine. Teach me to love what once I seemed to hate, and live to God before it be too late. O God, come upon us by thy Spirit. Teach us wondrous things out of thy law. Work in our hearts and lives this evening. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The words that I want to take from my text this evening are the opening words in verse 10 here in Psalm 111. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, to understand that which the psalmist declares here, it is important from the outset that we give some consideration to the meaning of two words in this verse of Scripture. And these are the words fear and beginning. If we take the word fear, first of all, what is it to fear the Lord? What is it to have a holy fear of God? Very often as we use the word fear, we think of being frightened and being scared. The idea really is one of dread and one of terror. And this is our thought in regard to fear. This is the concept that we have in our minds about fear. Something that is frightening. Something that would scare us. And of course, people are afraid of many different things. There are people who are afraid of the dark. People who are afraid of mice and of spiders and of heights. And of course, there are a multitude of things that we could list that people are afraid of. And this is the concept, the idea that's in our minds, usually as we think of fear. Something that is dreadful. Something that is to be frightened of. Something that would scare us. However, this is not the thought behind the word fear in our text. The psalmist is not saying a terrifying fear and dread of God is the beginning of wisdom. Rather, the word fear here refers to a deep reverence and respect for the Lord, which brings a person to worship and serve him. This is the idea, this is the concept, as it speaks of fear here. A reverence for God, a respect for God, that brings a person humbly and reverently to bow before him and acknowledge him as God, even at standing in awe in his courts. This is the word fear here. In Exodus 1, we have an example of what it is to fear the Lord. In the book of Exodus there, in the early chapters, we read of how Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, had given orders to the midwives that every male child of the children of Israel was to be slain as soon as they were born. The reason why Pharaoh and the leaders in Egypt issued this evil decree was because they were concerned with population growth among the people of Israel. The people of Israel were growing. They were multiplying. God had blessed them. God had given to them the increase. And so Pharaoh and the leaders in Egypt were concerned that the Israelites would grow so great that they would eventually take over the land and drive them out of the land. And so they instructed the midwives to kill every son that was born to a Hebrew woman. We hear a lot today about population growth and the threat it is to our world. This is something that is continually brought before us by those who are environmentalists. They speak about the danger of population growth and how our world is going to be overtaken by huge numbers of people. Well, the Bible teaches us that such talk is the talk of evil and wicked men. Men that are controlled by the devil. And we should remember that. It is the Lord who gives the increase. It is the Lord who blesses. However, as we think about this incident with the midwives in the nation of Egypt at that time, this is what we read in Exodus 1 verse 17. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. Now notice what these midwives did. Because they feared God, they disobeyed Pharaoh's wicked and evil law, and they behaved in a righteous way. These women were not running in terror and dread from the Lord. They weren't frightened of God. They were doing the complete opposite. They were obeying God instead of men. They were serving God instead of their wicked king. This then is what scripture means as it speaks of fearing God. It refers to a holy respect and reverence for the Lord, which moves an individual to serve God and seek after him with all their heart. This is what the psalmist has in view here as he speaks of the fear of the Lord. This desire to worship him, this desire to obey him, this respect for God, this humble reverence for his name and for his ways and for his laws and commandments. This is what it speaks of here as it speaks of the fear of the Lord. Then the second word we must consider is the word beginning. Beginning. You see, the word beginning in this verse, in our text this evening, has a twofold meaning. It means, in the first place, that which is at the start. That which is at the start. We often use the word beginning to speak of that which comes first, or that which is at the start. For example, if I said, when the Free Presbyterian Church was beginning in Garva, you would know immediately I was referring to that time when the Free Presbyterian Church started or commenced in Garva, at its beginning. That was when it began. That was when it started. That's when it commenced. And this is how we use the word beginning, to refer to that which comes first, that which is at the start. As we then read in our text, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There is a thought here that this is where wisdom starts. This is where it has its origin, in a holy reverence and respect for the Lord. This is the beginning of wisdom. We could say this is the ABC of what it is to be wise. A fear of God that leads us to seek after him and serve him. This is the very start of wisdom. This is what wise people do. The fool rejects God. The fool says there is no God. But the wise person, he worships God. This is the start of wisdom. This is where it begins. But then the word beginning here not only means that which is at the start, it also refers to that which is superior, or that which is chief. Indeed, we could also read this verse, the fear of the Lord is the chief wisdom. It is the chief wisdom. This is the greatest and the deepest wisdom that men and women can ever come to know. The fear of the Lord. This is the supreme wisdom. This is the highest form of wisdom. The greatest wisdom of all. A holy fear of God. We live at a time when men believe that they are so intelligent. And they are so wise. Developments in science and technology have convinced many that man is more superior in knowledge than ever before. And this is what our world thinks today in many ways. Well, we are so advanced. We are so developed. We are so technological. We have made such progress intellectually that we're really so wise. Yet all of man's discoveries and inventions, all of his learning and intellectual progression will in the end count for nothing without a holy fear of God in the heart. It will amount to nothing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This is the chief wisdom, the supreme wisdom that man could ever come to possess. And then turning to this verse of scripture this evening, I want us to consider why the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Or why this is the chief and supreme wisdom that man can ever come to know and enjoy. Why is the fear of the Lord the greatest wisdom of all? As we think on this subject, there are three things I want us to consider here. Notice with me, in the first place, And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom because of God's purpose. Because of God's purpose. Turn over with me for a moment to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and the verse 13. Ecclesiastes sometimes is a little book that's hard to find, but it comes right after the book of Proverbs and before the Song of Solomon. But in the last chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, notice what it says here in verse 13. And keep in mind what Solomon is doing here in the book of Ecclesiastes. He's really speaking about life. Speaking about the meaning of life. What is important in life? And he's used life from many different angles. The pleasures of life. And the possessions of life. And work life and family life. And he considers all these things. He's really speaking about the reason for life and the meaning of life. The purpose of life. He focuses in upon this in the book of Ecclesiastes. But he comes now to the final words. Notice what he says in Ecclesiastes 12 verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And really this is the whole matter about life. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole purpose, the whole reason of life. Fear God. Keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Here we are told of the whole duty of man. He is to fear God and keep his commandments. This is the reason and purpose for which God has created man. To fear him. And remember what this fear of God is. It is to serve God. It is to seek after him. It is to reverently worship the Lord. And it is to love him. Now this is the whole duty of man. This is what he's responsible for. To fear God and keep his commandments. Therefore we can say the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Because this is God's great purpose for our lives. That we worship him and that we walk in his ways. And oh, that men might grasp this. Oh, that men might understand this. This is God's purpose for us. That we as individuals might live for his glory. That we may honor him in his life, in our lives and in all that we do. This is our duty. The whole duty of man. The whole purpose for which we live. To fear the Lord. The same truth is expressed in the opening question in the Shorter Catechism. Question 1 in the Shorter Catechism asks, what is the chief end of man? And the answer it gives is, man's chief end. Or we could say, man's chief and supreme purpose. What is it? To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Think of that. God has made you for this purpose. God has made all men for this great end. To glorify him. And to enjoy him forever. Think also of what the Lord Jesus said. As he was asked one day. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? The person asking this question was really seeking to know. What is the most important matter for man? What is the one thing he must give the most careful and diligent attention to? Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Well, what is that thing which I must attend to above everything else? In response to this question, the Lord Jesus declared, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Loving the Lord with all our being is man's first and supreme duty. This is God's great purpose for our lives. That we might love him. That we might worship him. Or in the words of our text, that we might fear him. Indeed, we can say this is why God originally created man after his own image. And why he has given to all men life and breath. That we might fear him with a holy and reverential fear. And worship and love him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Because this is God's purpose. God's great purpose for our lives. He has made us for this very end. For this very reason. That we might fear him. And as we think of how it is God's great purpose for all men, that they might fear him. This does teach us a number of things, very important things. It teaches us of man's favoured position. To worship and serve God is not only man's great duty, it's also man's great privilege. Out of all the creatures in God's creation, it is only mankind that was created with the ability and capacity to worship and love the Lord. Out of all the creatures God made in the beginning of time, it was only man that was given the ability and the capacity to love God and to worship him. Genesis 2:7 tells us, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." These words teach us that as well as a physical dimension to man, God also created man with a spiritual dimension. The other creatures in God's creation were merely physical. They didn't have a living soul. They couldn't worship God. They couldn't communicate with God. They couldn't love God. This is the case with animals. They don't have a spiritual aspect to them. They are merely physical. But man was made not only a physical being, but also a spiritual being. He was made with a living soul to worship his Creator and God. This is how God has made man. After his own image, a living soul with the ability, with the capacity to love God, to worship God, to know God, to reverence God, to fear God. He made man for this. And therefore, he's put him into a very privileged position. Now, this is something men and women need to understand. Oh, that people would grasp this. God has made man for a higher purpose than merely living for earthly things. God has made man for a higher purpose than merely living for the things of this world. God has given to us life and strength that we might live for something greater than worldly pleasures and worldly possessions and worldly popularity. And this is what the many are living for in these days. Just the things of this world, the temporal things of life. They're just taken up with these things. But God has made us for something greater than this. Something more noble. Something more glorious, something far higher, something far more wonderful than any pleasure that we can have in this world. He has made us to fear him, made us to worship and serve him. And this is what we need to continually keep in focus in our lives, even as God's people, even as believers. God has made me. He gives me breath. He gives me life. Day by day. For a great end. To worship and to serve him. To fear him. And that doesn't matter where you're found in life. It doesn't matter what station you're found in life. Whether you're young. Or whether you're older in retirement. God has made you. And he continues to give you life and breath. For this great purpose. That you might live for his glory. And you might serve him here in this world. And so as you think of God's great purpose for man, it reminds us of man's favored position. He's lifted man up to this noble position. Above the animals, above the other creatures in his creation. For this great purpose. That we might serve him and fear him. But then as you think about God's great purpose for man, and not only teaches us of man's favored position, it also reminds us of man's fallen position. Although it is God's great purpose that men and women worship and fear him, yet this is not what men and women naturally do. The very opposite is the case. Romans 1:25 speaks of how men worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. In other words, they put the things of this world before God. They love and delight in these things instead of God. And this is man's natural condition. He puts the things of time before God. Romans 3 verse 18 puts it this way. There is no fear of God before their eyes. There is no fear of God before their eyes. In other words, in their view of life, in their outlook in life, the worship of God's not really there. This is natural man. Yes, he's been made for a high purpose, a most glorious purpose, to serve and worship his Creator and God. But naturally, the fear of God, or there is no fear of God before their eyes. This is not in their view. This is not in their thoughts. They don't worship God naturally, but man rebels from God. This then reveals to us the fallen position in which man is now found. God made man for a great purpose, the highest purpose of all, to worship and serve and fear him. But sadly, men and women, instead of fulfilling this wonderful and splendid purpose, they live for the empty and hollow things of this perishing world. This is one of the greatest evidences of man's fallen position. People live just like the rich, foolish farmer. Think of that man. All he was concerned about was earthly things. All he was concerned about was his farm, was his prosperity, was his finances, was getting bigger and greater and gaining more in this world. This is what consumed this man. And he thought not about eternal matters. He thought not about worshipping God. He thought not of giving God the glory. He was only consumed with the empty things, the temporal things of time. And sadly, this is the case with the vast majority. We sang those words earlier in that hymn. In verse 3 it says, "And I, poor sinner, cast it all away, lived for the toil or pleasures of each day. As if no Christ had shed his precious blood. As if I owed no homage to my God." And this is how men live. Live for the toil and pleasure of each day. As if they owed no homage, no worship to their God. This is the great tragedy in our world. Man has been created for a great purpose. To worship God. And yet people live for such vain, empty, hollow things. They make gods of things that are just passing away and corrupting, while they ignore the Eternal One, who is great and glorious in all his ways. And so we have here the great purpose of man. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, because of God's purpose. This is God's purpose for us. That we should worship him. That we should serve him. Therefore, this is the supreme wisdom. The greatest wisdom of all. That we fulfill the purpose for which we were created. But then secondly, we can also say here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Not only because of God's purpose, but also because of God's provision. In this psalm, Psalm 111, this is really what the psalmist focuses upon. God's great provision for men. Notice again the opening words in verse 1 in Psalm 111. It says, "Praise ye the Lord." Or we literally read these words, "Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation." It is clearly the case that this psalm is a psalm of praise. David is giving thanks unto the Lord for his great goodness and provision. This is what he's doing here. Hallelujah! I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. Then as David comes to the concluding words of the psalm of praise, he declares, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Now again, keep in mind what the word fear and beginning here mean. Fear means to worship and serve and love the Lord. And beginning means superior or chief. Therefore, what David is saying here is, because of God's great goodness towards men, because of God's loving and kind provision for men and women, the chief and greatest wisdom of all is to worship and serve and love this good and gracious God. This is really the heart of the truth set forth in the words of our text. The highest and most supreme wisdom of all is to reverence and serve the one who is the giver of every good and perfect gift. This is what the psalmist is saying here. He speaks of how God provides. He speaks of how God meets our needs. He speaks of how God is loving and kind and good. And then he ends it with these words, the fear of the Lord, the worship of the Lord is the supreme wisdom. And really what he's saying, because God is so good and so kind and so gracious and so merciful in his provision, this is the greatest thing you can do to this good God. It's worship him and serve him. Indeed, as we consider all that God has provided for man, the only reasonable conclusion that we can come to is it is the greatest act of folly and wickedness not to fear the Lord. Oh, God is so good. And he's so gracious and he is so kind. And he provides such wonderful blessings for us. Therefore, to take from him and to receive from him continually and not to worship him as it is our duty. Oh, what sin that is. What grievous sin that is. What a wicked thing that is. The only wise thing to do is to fear the Lord. As we think of how all men ought to fear the Lord because of his great provision for them, we must consider how God has provided for man. We must think of this for a moment. This psalm very much speaks of this. And what we see here is that God wonderfully provides for men and women in two ways. So we can summarize God's provision for men into two categories. Notice here, God has provided for man's physical need. He's provided for man physically. And this is brought before us in the words of verses 2 to 5 here in this psalm. See again what it says. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honourable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. In these verses, the emphasis is on the Lord supplying man's physical and temporal needs. Note it continually speaks of God's works here. In verse 2 we read, the works of the Lord are great. Verse 3 it says, his work is honourable and glorious. And in verse 4 we are told, he hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Now this is all referring to how God in grace works that man's physical needs might be met. How the Lord works to meet our physical needs. And we see this all around us. The Lord gives us sun. He gives us rain. He gives us seed time and harvest. We see the works of God all around us in creation. He's provided us with all that we have and enjoy in life. He continually works to meet our need in the physical sense. Psalm 145 puts it this way. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. Oh, God opens his hand to us. Think of the language the psalmist is using there. God opens his hand, his bountiful hand, and he satisfies all living things. He meets our physical needs. The simple truth is, all that we enjoy in life, right down to the very air that we breathe, can be traced back to God's loving and gracious hand. It's all God's work. All God's work. Paul stated it so clearly as he declared to the people of Athens in Acts 17 verse 25. God giveth to all life and breath and all things. And that really sums it all up. God giveth to all life. Our original life. Brings us into existence. And then he gives us breath. That's our continual living. And then in case Paul missed anything, he just adds the words, and all things. God's given us all that we enjoy. Everything we have in this world can be traced back to God's loving and gracious hand. The only wise response to such wonderful and loving provision is then to delight and worship the Lord for his abundant goodness and kindness. This is the only wise response. Indeed, this is the only righteous response that we can make to this. Unthankfulness is one of the great sins spoken of in Scripture. And so often we don't look upon unthankfulness in this way. But it is one of the great sins spoken of in Scripture. In the city, the wicked city of Sodom. The Lord speaks of how they were unthankful in Ezekiel 16 verse 49. He speaks of how there was an abundance of bread. And yet they were unthankful. In 2 Timothy 3 and 2, read about the last days and how there will be perilous times. And one of the sins listed there is unthankfulness. You see, where there is unthankfulness, there's no fear of God. The unthankful person will not worship God. Will not seek after God. They live and they receive and they obtain and they have and they possess, but they will never give God thanks. And that's why unthankfulness is such a wicked sin. Because it's refusing to worship God. It's refusing to fear Him. It is the greatest wisdom to worship and love and fear the Lord, for He is the one who continually provides for man's physical need. All that we have comes from Him. Therefore we must humbly and reverently bow in His presence and give Him our thankful praise and adoration. But then we also see in this psalm, God has provided for man's not only physical need, but also his spiritual need. This, of course, is man's greatest need. The need to be delivered from the state of sin and misery that by nature he's found in. Notice the words in verse 9 here in Psalm 111. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. See the words here, the Lord has sent redemption unto his people. That is, he has sent salvation unto his people. He sent this unto his people. He's provided this for his people. Of course, the Lord has done this through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why Christ came into this world. Why he lived a sinless life. Why he suffered the brutality of men and the wrath of God upon the cross. This is why he shed his blood and died, to send redemption unto his people. To provide for our greatest need. The need to be forgiven. The need to be pardoned. The need to be saved. All that man needs for salvation, God has fully provided in Christ. We have a Savior from all sin. One who is able to meet us at the very point of our need. And lift us out of that place of condemnation. And bring us into a place of peace with God and eternal life. It's all found in Him. All found in His work. All found in that which He has done for us. Full provision for our greatest need. The need of salvation. Therefore, because the Lord has provided for our greatest need, the need to be saved from eternal ruin, it is the greatest wisdom. It is the supreme wisdom to fear this God and in faith and repentance to claim Him as your God and Savior. This is the greatest wisdom because of how He has provided. Full salvation, full redemption. Think about it. All your sin, all your iniquities, all that would drag you down to the depth of hell itself. Christ can deal with it all. He's provided a remedy for it all. He's provided you righteousness to give you acceptance with God and eternal life. This is what He provides. Therefore, the supreme wisdom is to worship Him and to fear Him and faith and repentance to claim Him as your God and Savior. This is the supreme wisdom. Now, have you claimed Christ as your Savior? Or maybe you're still in this position that we were singing about earlier on. You're living as if Christ had shed, as if no Christ had shed His precious blood. As if there was no provision for your soul. Oh, what a foolish thing it is to reject Christ when there is a provision for your greatest need. Yes, we live at a time when men believe that they are intelligent and wise. They think they have so advanced and developed in science and technology that they really have no need of God. And this is how many think, oh yes, our ancestors, they were ignorant. They were foolish. They didn't understand science. They didn't grasp the great intellectual things that we understand today. Didn't understand technology. Didn't understand how our world works and all the different microcosms that are found in creation. They didn't understand these things. And so they were in their foolishness and ignorance. They worship God, but not us today. Oh, not us. We are intelligent people. We are clever people. We have developed. We know so much today. We have no need of God. How many think in this way? However, no matter how science and technology may progress, no matter the significant intellectual achievements that men might make, none of these things can meet the greatest need that men and women have. None of these things can. None of these things can solve the greatest problem. The need for salvation. To have the great matter of sin dealt with. Man's technology, man's advancement in science and discoveries can never deal with this problem. There's no answer to it. Because as Jonah 2 and 9 tells us, salvation is of the Lord. This is God's great provision for man. And so, it is the greatest wisdom, it is the chief wisdom to humbly seek the Lord. You might come to know His saving provision in your life. Oh, I trust that you will do this today. Even tonight, that you will come. Come. And recognize your need of Christ. And claim Him as your Savior. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom because of God's purpose. It is His purpose that we fear and worship Him, but also because of His provision. All that He has done for us to meet us at the point of our need should bring us to His feet where we worship Him as our God and Savior. One last thing, notice with me here, and that is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom because of God's purity. Not only because of God's purpose and God's provision, but also because of God's purity. Notice what it says in verses 7 and 8. The works of His hands, that is God's hands, are verity, meaning truth. The works of God's hands are verity, are truth and judgment. All His commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. These words remind us that God is holy and just. And when it comes to judgment, He will only ever judge righteously. This is the very character of God. When it comes to judgment, He will only ever judge righteously. Where God finds sin, He will punish. And where He finds righteousness, He will reward. He is just, and He will judge all men in truth and righteousness. Now, because God is holy and pure, because He is just and righteous in all His ways, it is the supreme and greatest wisdom to fear Him and seek Him as your Savior and God. You see, each one of us one day will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This God who is pure, this God who is righteous, this God who is holy, this God who cannot and will not ignore sin, this God who must punish sin, each one of us one day will be called before His judgment seat. And we'll be judged by this pure and holy God. Think about that. How are you prepared to do this? How will you be ready to stand before the judgment seat of Christ? This God who cannot ignore sin, how will you prepare? The greatest wisdom of all is to fear this God and to worship Him and to seek after Him and to claim His salvation. This is the supreme wisdom. What a foolish thing it is to ignore this issue. The very fact that your life is going to be exposed someday by the holy eyes of an all-seeing God, and every thought that you've thought, every word that you've spoken, every deed that you've done will be laid bare on that day, and you will be held account to it. Because this God is pure. The righteous thing is to fear Him and worship Him and seek after Him because of His pure holiness and justice and truth. Remember what the penitent thief on the cross said to his dying companion. He said this, "Dost not thou fear God? Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Notice here, it was the fear of God. The fear of God that brought this man to realize he needed Christ as a savior to escape the just punishment of a holy God. The fear of God brought him to this point, realized that he needed Christ. He needed Christ to be on his side. He needed Christ to remember him. The fear of God brought him to this place where he realized he needed a savior if he was ever to escape the judgment of God. And this is why he cried to Christ in his dying moment for salvation. God in the gospel offers pardon. God in the gospel offers peace. Yea, he offers paradise to those that fear him, to those that humbly and reverently seek after him as their savior and God. This is the glorious news of the gospel. Therefore, this is wisdom. This is supreme wisdom. This is the chief wisdom. This is the highest possible form of wisdom, to fear the Lord. And like the dying thief, to seek Christ for salvation. Oh, I trust and pray that all here will fear the Lord and be wise unto salvation. I trust in this first Lord's Day evening of this new year that the fear of the Lord will be the beginning of wisdom for those in this meeting still out of Christ and still in their sin. And they will come to realize God's purpose for their lives. He's made you for a great end, to glorify him. That you will come to realize God's provision for you. He has provided salvation. And you will also come to realize God's purity. That one day that you will stand before God. And if you've never bowed the knee in repentance and in faith and worshipped this God and claimed him as your savior, then it will be eternal ruin for you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I trust all in this meeting will be wise, even unto salvation tonight. May God be pleased to bless his truth to our hearts for his own name's sake. Amen. Amen.